This is the Marketing Development Podcast, brought to you by the Marketing Development Academy, the online community designed to help you develop your marketing business, skills, and career by exploring the world of marketing and entrepreneurship. Here is your host, Pete Everett.
Welcome to this episode of the Marketing Development Podcast. My name is Pete Everett, and today I'm going to talk to you a little bit about how to fire a client. Now, this is one of those subjects that often gets missed, because in reality, none of us ever really want to fire a client, but sometimes it's the best thing to do for everybody involved. And in this episode, I want to look at why this can be the right decision for both us as agency owners or freelancers or consultants, and also for our client. I'm then going to talk about how to spot the warning signs, and then how actually to go about terminating an agreement with a client once you've made the decision that it's the right thing to do. So why is it a good thing to fire a client from time to time? Now, to be perfectly blunt with you, I'm not talking in this episode about just getting rid of clients for the sake of getting rid of clients. I am genuinely talking about when things are getting a bit stressful and things aren't going the way they should do, and you're genuinely not a good fit for that client. Your product or service isn't going to deliver what the client ultimately wants or needs. And that there's a good distinction there between what they want and what they potentially need. So they're the type of discrepancies really that I'm talking about here. I'm not condoning or suggesting that you go and fire clients just because you've had a bit of an off day and you've taken a dislike to somebody, and that's what you feel like doing in the moment. It needs to be a considered process, and it needs to be a last resort for any working relationship to pass amicably and generally be a kind of, a good all-round sort of result for everybody involved. So the reality is that not all clients are a good fit for us. And likewise, we're not always a good fit for each client. And there can be loads of reasons for that, but they normally revolve around either expectations not being married up. Now, if that's the case, maybe as the agency, we're actually slightly responsible for that. And if you look back in your own communications, how proactive have you been in setting those expectations? You've got to remember, at the end of the day, it's our job to lead a client through our process. They are not the agency. They are not the experts in building websites or providing copy or running digital marketing or whatever it might be. That's our job. So maybe there's a chink in our chain when it comes to that side of things. Maybe they have different values to us, and that can be a challenging one, because you don't want to get sort of morally charged about this. But actually, it is easier if you work with people who have a similar value set to you. Again, I'm not trying to make judgments on anybody, but it's just the way the world is. People work in different ways. And if our values don't line up with somebody else's values, then that can cause tensions and frictions as well. And finally, the third sort of broad brushstroke area that I've seen these things generally fit into is different levels of work ethic. So that could be, clients expecting that they're going to get work on evenings and weekends, or that they are expecting that a job that should take a week is going to be delivered in a couple of days, or vice versa, of course, that we're expecting items back from the client, content, images, assets, whatever it might be, and things get delayed over and over again. I'm not just talking about the one-offs here. Everybody can be ill or on holiday or whatever it might be and cause some small delays. And that's just the way, just one of the risks of being in our line of work. But when things are happening consistently over and over again, then you maybe start asking some deeper questions. Now, there's benefits to both you and the client if this genuinely isn't going to work, that, there's benefits to actually bringing it to a conclusion. For you, first and foremost, it means less stress. I've had clients in the past that I've worked with, and You know, I've genuinely dreaded the phone ringing or that monthly catch-up meeting. And you go in there and you feel like you're going to be shot each time you open your mouth. And it's just not a good mental place for you to be. And none of us go into our self-employment, into our work, for things to be hard for us. We go in because we want a better life for ourselves, because we're wanting to provide more for our families. And we're hoping that the person on the other side of the table has a similar kind of agenda and that they're not trying to, you know, have a sort of a hidden agenda to what's going on. It also means that there can be less compromise to your process. And now, this is where we start talking about your authority and your position as the expert in your field. So when we're pitching projects and when we're discussing retainers with clients or ad hoc work, we openly talk about projects being a collaboration. We're not there to simply give you a new element to your business. We're bringing the digital expertise, but we're not an expert in, I don't know what it might be, you know, in running shoes. We're not an expert in telecommunications. We're not an expert in whatever it is that your business actually does. We can apply our knowledge of how things work online to improve your business, to solve some problems, to make your process work better. But you need to trust us for that side of things, just as we need to trust you for the authority in terms of the product itself coming back from you as our client, because we've not got the time to research and ratify everything that you're going to tell us. So we're going to take it as, you know, you are the expert on the table from that side of things. So if things then start to move away and you're asked to start compromising your process, there's really a point here, which is you kind of need to stand on your own two feet and say, look, I've been working in this industry for X years. I've formed my processes. I've honed them. I understand how this works. And what you're asking me to now do is something outside of that. And because of that, I can't necessarily justify that is the right thing to do. I don't think it's the right advice that we do whatever this is. There's a meme or an ad that you see on Facebook from time to time, which is, you know, just because a job takes me 15 minutes to do, it only takes me that long because I've had 15 years experience in doing what I'm doing, so I can do it so quickly. You're not paying me for the minutes, you're paying me for the years. And that's the kind of standpoint I'm alluding to when I talk about this. And then, of course, the other benefit to your business is by saying no to one client, you're opening the door to work with a client that is a better fit for your company, the better fit for your skill set, a better fit for what you do. You'd be happier, you know, servicing them. So actually, it's not all bad. It doesn't always need to seem like, you know, the complete end of the world, because what you're doing is opening an opportunity for you to do something that you're probably going to be more efficient, more productive at anyway. And of course, for that selection, you are going to be more selective when you choose that client. There's also benefits to the clients as well, because you know what? If you're feeling stress, chances are they're feeling stress at their side of the table as well. So you're alleviating that stress for them. And also there's the added benefit that realistically they may end up with a better product out the other end of the project with a new supplier, whoever it might be, because you know what? That supplier could be a better fit for them, and you're not going to give 100% because you feel stressed about this relationship anyway. So actually, you know what, there's a good benefit for your client out the other end as well, and they may end up with that better product. Now, over my sort of, 14, 15 years of working in agencies, I've not had to fire too many clients. I have had to fire a few, and it never feels very good when it comes round. And no matter how much I ratify this process, no matter how much I have thought about it whilst preparing for this podcast, there's always a knot in my throat and a sort of lump in my heart, I suppose, just because it doesn't feel, you feel like you're letting somebody down. And that can be you, it can be the client, it can be both of you. We all want to do our best, but sometimes, you know what, it's not a good fit. And I can hand on heart say that every time I have bitten the bullet and done this, which is around about 6 to 8 times to give you a clue in that period. So we're talking about one every other year. So it's not very often at all. But the when I have done it, it has always led to a better result, a better outcome for everybody involved. And the relief that I have felt off the back of it has been, and my team have felt, has been tangible. It's been noticeable. So we know it's been the right thing to do. Right, so what are the warning signs? Right, well, firstly, one of the obvious things is if a project goes for long periods where it is stagnant, where you can't get in touch with clients, where you can't get assets from them. And again, I'm not talking about just the odd, oh, so-and-so's off ill for the day, or, you know, this was a holiday, sorry, we didn't tell you about it. But I'm talking about repeatedly, it is just generally hard work to get stuff out the client, because we can't operate effectively if we don't get that information and those assets out of our clients. Secondly, if there's a consistent delay to communications and or payments, or they're wanting to communicate with you at a time that is, let's say, unreasonable on a regular basis. So, you know, I've had clients before that always contact me on a Sunday and then get a bit snotty with me if by Monday morning I haven't replied. And I'm not talking about clients in different time zones. I'm talking about people that are, you know, within 100 miles of my location. And you know, that's, you know, I'm a family man and they know that. I'm very open about the fact that I have a family, that I've got children. You know, expecting me to work on a Sunday and expecting a reply, well, I'm sorry, that's, you know, my weekends are sacred. I do work evenings sometimes during the week, or I'll start late and finish late, or I'll start early and finish early. But when it comes to weekends, I'm sorry, that's family time. That's how I've decided to structure my life. You may be happy working on Sundays, in which case this wouldn't be a problem for you. But don't then get snotty with me if I haven't replied to you by 9:15 on a Monday morning, because if you're sending something on a Sunday afternoon, I've realistically only seen your email for 15 minutes. And guess what? It's accompanied by a whole load of other emails, so I'm working my way through it. Another sign is a disregard for the right advice. Now, I talk about advice a lot with clients, because we very much work on there's not a one size fits all model. You can see the end jigsaw, but you can't necessarily see the pieces. And our advice and the way that we break things down in order to achieve your goals as our client means that we need to kind of construct those pieces. And, you know, there may be a number of different ways they go together. So we talk about advice quite a lot, because what we're trying to do is deconstruct the client's end goals and figure out a way that we can deliver this online. Now, because of that, I come to the table, we come to the table as the digital expert. Therefore, if you're going to start questioning my authority on certain things, well, I'm sorry, but this conversation is going to have a limited lifespan, because you've brought me to the table for my expertise. You know, I'm not questioning how your product or service works in your industry, so please don't question mine. I know that sounds a bit forthright of me and a little bit, but it's. And again, if it's a one-off conversation, I'd probably let it slide and that'd be the end of it. But if these things start to happen over and over again, I'm sorry, I'm the expert in this area. I stand by my guns. If you don't want to do it this way, then, and we can't agree on a path that we're both happy with, then you probably need to find somebody else to work with. The next point is generally not about being a partner to the project. And maybe I've come up with this example because of the way we present ourselves to clients as a partnership in each project. But that's definitely a presentation that's worked for us and that clients understand. They know that they are not coming to us to sort of with the idea of like buying a car or buying a van or a vehicle. You know, they're not coming to us for a product that they're going to get back. With no questions asked, we're trying to figure out a solution for you. Therefore, we need to work together on this. And if one person is either tugging too much or not tugging enough, then there's not that equal partnership happening. And again, if that happens over a long period of time, particularly over a retained agreement, for example, then that can become very draining on one side or the other. And it just another demonstration that you may not be a good fit. Finally, you know, if there's a regular request for demands that are outside of the project scope, generally outside of your remit as a supplier, that they can be warning signs as well. Again, if it happens on an ongoing basis, there's when you onboard a new client, there's always a learning curve. There's always an element by which the two of you need to get used to working together. So maybe you've got a bit of a grace period on this, and you know, people can genuinely ask for something and you say, oh, hang on, that's a little bit outside this. Okay, didn't realize that, no problem. But again, if it's happening on a consistent basis and you've given those warnings, then actually, you know, ultimately, all that's going to happen if you agree to do something is you're going to compromise on your process, which is something we talked about earlier, and it's going to put you in an awkward position. So they're basically my top five warning signs that I look for with clients not being a right fit. Right, how do we fire a client? So there's a number of parts to this process. None of them are particularly taxing or complicated, but I do try and keep to this rhythm so that, because ultimately in ending a relationship, it needs to end professionally. It needs to end amicably. You know, just because you're not a good fit to work with somebody doesn't mean that you can necessarily have a slanging match and throw toys out of the pram and end it like that. That's not good for anybody. We are still the professional in this. We are still a supplier. So we need to end it in the right kind of manner. So the first thing I do is I try and make the decision that this is not a right fit before things come to blows with the client. So the last time I did this, which if you've been in the Facebook group, you will know isn't too long ago. It's like a few weeks ago. Make that days. But the way that came about was that this particular client was very, very niche and very scientifically specific in what they did. And they were looking for some SEO and copywriting support. And we initially took the project on. And it became very clear quite quickly that our copywriting services were never going to be detailed enough for the type of content that they needed to produce. And you know, whatever we tried to do, it was never good enough from a scientific point of view. And then when we get feedback back, it would be diluted so much from an SEO point of view that it wouldn't, you know, it wasn't going to really work for them. So we came to a bit of an impasse on this point. So ultimately, I made the decision to get in there first before we got to the exasperated, we've been through this X many times type of conversation, to say, you know what, I don't think from my side of things that this service is going to work for you. These are the reasons why. And ultimately, if I just keep on taking money off you, because they were on a retainer, if I keep on taking money off you, I'm ultimately just doing both you and me a disservice. So it's really better for us that we part this way now, and that we can figure out a better way for you to do this. The second thing is I always send this communication in writing. I don't do it on the phone. I know some people that would prefer to meet for a coffee for these kind of things, but actually, on reflection, when it comes to terminating an agreement, maybe there's some contractual elements in there, maybe there's some items that you need to lay out, maybe there's a handover of responsibility or ownership of particular items. If you start to do that face-to-face, the problem with that is that you start point one, and then the client then gets to respond. And you may never get as far as point two. Or as you then whittle through your points, things get forgotten. So I find it's far more logical to lay it all out in an email. Sometimes the email gets a bit longer than it needs to be, or that you'd like it to be. But actually, at least by doing it that way, you can go through it methodologically. You can make sure that you've made all your points. You can make sure that you don't waffle. That's another thing. You get the chance to edit it so that it's concise, it's to the point, it's rational, and it doesn't have any hidden emotion or attached sort of vigor to it. It is just a statement that actually this relationship isn't going to work. Here's what we need to know to move on from it. And it's been nice working with you so far. That's all it needs to say. In that email, I do then outline why this is the right decision for both sides. And I often start by outlining why it's the right decision for the client. So, you know, I don't go in there and say, hey, I'm getting too stressed at this man, that I need to cancel this because of my stress levels. That the client doesn't care. At the end of the day, you're trying to terminate an agreement with them. You're giving them a problem because they're either partway through a project or at the start of a project that now isn't going to get done. So, you really need to outline what the benefit is to them before you start worrying about yourself. I also normally offer to refund some kind of cost to the client as well. Now, if that's on a retained agreement, it might be your previous month's fee. If that's on a project, if we've incurred some cost, then I'd be open with what our actual costs were. So we're not wanting to lose money on this, but you know, I'm not going to want to make money off this because ultimately for the client, you're passing them the problem back. If you then go and take all their money, they're not going to be able to solve it. So again, trying to be professional, and I'll come back to that word, is, you know, to say, look, we'll cover our costs and our bases, but if there's any money that we owe back to you, by all means, we'll give you a refund for that amount. And if I'm writing this email, I'll put in the email what that amount is and how I've calculated that. The final two things that I'll do as part of this sort of handover or termination is, if I can, I'll offer an alternative solution. So maybe they're not a good fit because of a particular thing that I'm not very good at, or we as an agency aren't very good at. So I don't know, that could be technical copywriting, for example. Now, if I know a technical copywriter, then there's be nothing saying, look, I'll more than happily make an introduction to you to XYZ because they have a skill set that is far more what you'll need. So you're deferring them onto somebody else. You're not trying to just leave them high and dry with it. If you don't have an alternative solution, don't go making something up. Don't go Googling somebody or something and recommending a service that you really don't know anything about. That's not a good place to be either. So, but if you do have an alternative, then it is good to suggest it. And the final thing is that I always make sure I'm proactive with the supply of files or assets or access rights, whatever it might be. I don't know, if we're terminating hosting as part of an agreement that we're ending, for example, then I'm not going to become a bit of a sleaze when it comes to handing over then assets. When the new supplier gets in touch with me, I'll be proactive. I'll be responsive to them. I'll be perfectly professional. I'll be polite. I'm not going to become a bit of an idiot just because I've decided to terminate an agreement and then it becomes too much hassle. You need to be able to close this door properly and efficiently so that you can sleep well at night. And so that you know that the right decision has been made and everybody is in a better place. A good benchmark for this is if you fast forward 3 months and both you and the client aren't in a better place, then it was probably a bad decision to actually terminate it in the first place. Now, obviously that's brilliant with the gift of hindsight, and there's not a lot you can do to go back and rectify it at that point. But, you know, it's just one of those things that does help you sort of close the loop in your own mind. It makes me feel better about it anyway, to look back and say, hey, well, you know what? Okay, we missed out on that fee, but you know, the client's now got a better result because of the end of it. So we're all good. So that's how I go about it. They're my criteria. I'd love to know what your thoughts are, how you go about this, whether you've got any experiences that you want to mention. You can find us over in our Facebook group at peteeverett.com/group, or just search Facebook for the Marketing Development Podcast and you'll find us in there. It's been a delight talking to you, and I will see you next week.